Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Kufay. We are on the bottom of Kuf Dalet, three lines from the bottom, and resuming our discussion where Shmuel tells us a chiddush that if one brings a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, the actual creature itself, a dead lizard, which is a source of tumah, if he brings it into the Beis HaMikdash, he's not chayiv because we learn it from a pasuk that this iser minat Torah only applies to something which can become Torah in a mikvah as opposed to a sheretz, which doesn't have that ability, and therefore bringing that into the Beis HaMikdash does not result in chayiv, and likewise there's no obligation minat Torah to remove it from the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara attempted to connect this halacha with the machlokes found in the Mishnah, and perhaps that forms the basis of that machlokes, and the Gemara discounted that connection. Now the Gemara proceed to attempt to connect this halacha of Shmuel to the next machlokes Tanoim found in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara three lines from the bottom at the end of that third line, Ella rather kahani Tanoi, perhaps the other machlokes Tanoim found in our Mishnah is based on this very question of whether there's a chiyuv min haTorah for one who brings a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash. Which machlokes are we referring to? The snan we learned in our Mishnah, Meichan Matzin, Oisoy v'chulu. So we're speaking about removing the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's muktzah. Chachamim discounted and suspended their shvus of muktzah, ein shvus v'migdash, to allow removal of the sheretz. Now, where within the Beis HaMikdash was the sheretz found? We know that there are various degrees, levels of Kedusha within the Beis HaMikdash itself. This is the Heichel, this is the Azorah. So where within the Beis HaMikdash does this justify overriding muktzah? Where was the sheretz found? Meheichel Metzin Oysa B'chulu, and we had the Machlekes, where Shim Banana says, in the Heichel, in the Ulam, but if it's found in the Azorah, that doesn't justify muktzah. Leave it there until Matzah Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Kiva maintains that even in the Azorah, you meant to remove it, despite the fact that it's muktzah. Says Duma, perhaps the basis of their machlekes is actually linked to Shmuel's chiddush. Maila b'kamiflik, perhaps the basis of the machlekes is as follows. The manda omar ma'azor aloy, the sheet that says that you cannot remove it from the Azorah on Shabbos, because Savra, he holds, ha-machnes sheretz le-migdash potter. If a person brings a sheretz into the base of migdash, he's potter. And actually, not only is he potter, but there's no chiv and atar to even remove it. Therefore, he holds that removal of a sheretz doesn't justify, doesn't override the muktzah concern. Therefore, if it's in the Azorah, leave it alone. As Rashi explains, but if it's found in the Heichel, Ulam, it's closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's an increased presence of Shechina there. And Mishum Kavet Shechina, we allow the removal of the sheretz despite the fact that it's muktzah. But otherwise, if it's out in the Azorah, where this factor isn't really there so strongly, Chacham did not allow removal of the sheretz and override the Isser of Muktzah. That explains the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Anas, who says, if it's in Azorah, leave it alone. So he holds like Shmuel, that a machnes sheretz, let me just put. However, Uman Omar Mikula Azorah, the Shita of Rav Akiva, who says that even if it's in Azorah, you remove it on Shabbos, we override Muktzah to allow removal of the sheretz, because Savar Chayvi holds that one brings a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash anywhere, even the Azor, he's chayiv. And likewise, he's a chiyiv, a biblical obligation to remove that sheretz. And therefore, it justifies tampering with muktzah on Shabbos. So perhaps the statement of Shmuel is actually dependent on this machlokes Tanaim. Says the more actually not. Amar B'yechanan, no. All agree, perhaps, that if one brings a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayiv. Likewise, there's an obligation to remove it, min haTorah. The machlokes here is a very focused and specific machlokes. The question is, a tumah which is found in the Azorah, does that justify muktzah removal? Does that justify doing an Isra on Shabbos? So since the Azorah really contains a lower level of Kedusha, yeah, you're not meant to bring something in there. You're meant to remove it as well. But if it's on Shabbos and it would involve muktzah, perhaps removal from the Azorah doesn't justify muktzah. That's the question here. It's a very local question. Actually, both shitas sourced their opinions from the very same pasuk, which says, "Vayevoyah kohanim leprima beis Hashem." The kohanim entered inside the beis Hashem letar to cleanse it from the avodah zarah. This was in the time of Chizkiah. They were trying to cleanse the beis hamikdash from the avodah zarah, which was introduced by his father Achaz, who was a rasha. So they went in there to clean up. Vayetzius kol tuma. They removed all the tuma, which is the avodah zarah, and the offerings, which are all matame. Asher motzu beichal Hashem, which they found inside. Where did they transport the avodah zarah lechatzar beis Hashem out to the chatzar beis Hashem, which is the azorah, the courtyard? So this was done by the kohanim. So the first phase, removing from the inside out to the chatzar, was accomplished by the kohanim. But once it got there, the second phase was picked up by the levim. By kabel halevim lahoitzil nachal kidron, they received and they took it out to nachal kidron chutza, out to get rid of the avodah zarah. So, despite the fact that there was an abundance of avodah zarah, lots of work, the kohanim refrained from getting involved past that first phase. Yeah, they went inside and brought it out, but once it got to that point, they waited for the levim to do the rest of the job. Says the Gemara, okay, this forms the basis of our machlokes in the Mishnah. How? Mar Savar, Moshe told, this is Rav Shimon ben Anas, he says, look, midishtani ba'azor b'levim, the fact that we see there was a changeover, it was a different reference to the Tumah when it was in the Azorah. The Kehanim no longer were involved. Only the levim got involved. Apparently, the Tumah within the Azorah is not so stringent. Tumah ba'azorah leka. The tumah within the azorah is not so chomer. It's not considered to be such a severe affront to the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore we waited for the levim to take over. The kohanim wouldn't get involved because a kohen is not meant to get tumah, right? So, yeah, to take it from the heichal, which has a high degree of kedusha, yeah, the kohanim did it. But once it got to the azorah, the kohanim backed off and allowed the levim to take over. So apparently, a tumah in the azorah doesn't justify doing an iser. Therefore, we didn't allow the kohanim to continue their involvement. And likewise, in our case, we don't override the iser muktzah in order to remove the tumah from the azorah. So this is a source of Rav Shimon ben Anas. Umar savar. However, the other sheet, the Rakiv, holds ad heicha delei efshav levim mafki kohanim. Yeah. Where the levim had no access, meaning within the echel, where the levim were not meant to go, of course the kohanim had to get involved and bring the avodah zarah out. There was no alternative. Hasha the efshe levim, but now once it's in the azorah, where the levim have access and they can go ahead and interact with the avodah zarah and transport it from the beis hamikdash, sulay matami kohanim. The kohanim no longer are meant to be involved. So since there's a viable option, Levim can do it, so why would that justify the tumah for the kohanim? Of course the Levim should do it, not the kohanim. As opposed to our case, where you have a tumah sitting in the azorah, it's meant to be removed. There's no reason to leave it there till Matzei Shabbos. Leave it there throughout Shabbos? Of course not. Of course you're meant to remove it, even on Shabbos, even at the expense of Muktzah. As opposed to there, where you had a viable option, you had the Levim waiting to do the rest of the job. So perhaps it wasn't so convenient. It took a bit longer because there were less people. But since the job could be accomplished by them, that didn't justify. It wouldn't allow for the kohanim to continue interacting with the tomb. Perhaps let's see Rashi inside. They're starting from the top line of the Amud. Sigmar originally figured that the machlekes in the Mishnah is related to that question of whether there's a chiv from Brisa Sheretz in the Beis Hamikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan responded, actually, it's not linked to that question. Or Rabbi Yochanan, leaning Yuli, when it comes to the question of bringing something into the Beis Hamikdash, Kuli Alma all agree Hamachne Sheretz Chayiv. Of course, if you bring a Sheretz to the Beis Hamikdash, you're Chayiv. Uli Nin Lahoitzi, Hanimtza Bazar B'Shabbos, Bahai Krab Pligi. However, when it pertains to the question of whether or not you meant to remove the Sheretz, despite the fact that it's Muktzah, to remove it on Shabbos from the Azorah, yeah, that is the basis of the machlokes, and it's sourced in the following pasuk, which says Vayaveo kahanim pnim beis Hashem beichel vayitzim atuma, which tuma was it? Avodah zara v'takru v'seha, its offerings shem etam ba'oil, which impart tuma even through oil. So these things were tummy items. The kahanim went in there, despite the fact that these things are tummy, and extracted it from the heichel and brought it out to the lechatzar beis Hashem to the azara. And once it got there, the Levim took over. But the Kehanim would not engage further, would not become Tamei. There wasn't another group of Kehanim involved in the second phase. Although apparently they need lots of people to do the job. And by not allowing Kehanim to be involved, it slowed down the process. We need lots of people to be involved. Some would bring out from the Hechel Azorah, ve'elu misham alechutz, and others would transport from the Azorah out to the Nachal Kidron. Despite the fact that there was a need for lots of people here, Levim hu dimitamen v'le kehanim. We insisted that only Levim would interact and become tamei, but the kehanim stayed out of it. So this is found in the pasuk. The question is how to analyze the pasuk. Says the Gemara, ben ana savar, Rashi, ben ana savar, midi ishtini tumas Azorah. The Kehanim and Levim. Since apparently there was a switchover in the way we related to the Tumah. And once it got to the Azorah, the Kehanim backed off, and only the Levim continued with the job. Shema Minah. Apparently we learn from here, Echad Issa Ba'Azorah, when there's a Tumah in the Azorah, which is an area which has a lower degree of Kedusha Le'mafkin and Le'bavera, we can't go ahead and remove the Tumah by doing an Isser, such as the Kohanim being involved, or such as Muktzah on Shabbos. Ela Madrina and Atira, rather, we prefer doing it in a permissible manner. Ubi Shabbos namri ledachin shvus. Likewise on Shabbos, we don't override the shvus of Muktzah. So that's the source of this Shita of Bernanus, who holds, don't remove it on Shabbos, wait till Matzah Shabbos. Tumah Bazara Lesa. So apparently the Tumah in the Azorah is not a concern. Kolaymar, what he means to say is, Hechad Issa Hosam Lechamir Kulehai. When we have Tumah in the Azorah, it is not regarded so stringently and doesn't justify overriding Muktzah. So that's the Shita of the Bananas. Whereas Rabbi Kiva holds, look, in that case, in the case of the Pasuk there, it was a viable alternative. So the first phase the Kohanim need to do out of necessity, but once it got to the Azorah, where the Levim could just continue the process, then of course they're meant to do it. So in the Heichal Delay Efsha Behechal Eidel Levim, the Heichal Levim are not meant to enter. Afil Kahanim Asir Lemeal, El Avoida. Even Kahanim don't have access to the Heichal only when it comes to Avoida. So when it comes to the Heichal or certainly the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even a Kohen doesn't really have access only if it is necessary, required for the Avoida. So certainly Levim were not meant to go there. And therefore, that phase was accomplished by the Kehanim, as opposed to the second stage. So once it got to the Azorah, Sulei Metamin LeKehanim, we don't allow the Kehanim to become Tamei. Sharei Efshav Levim, because it can be done and accomplished perfectly well through the Levim. So that's when it comes to the scenario described in the Pasuk. However, by us, when we find Tumah in the Azorah, what are you suggesting? Leave it alone. Leave it till Matzah Shabbos. Aval eshuyad urtaloi, but to leave it till nightfall? Of course not. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva maintains that even a tumah in the Azorah justifies muktzah, so one can go ahead and remove it, despite the fact that the sheretz is muktzah. So in conclusion, we find a sheretz in the Azorah. Rav Shimon ben Anan says, leave it alone till Matzah Shabbos. He holds that we actually see from that pasuk that a tumah within the Azorah is not considered to be such a severe state of tumah, of tumas migdash, and doesn't justify doing an isser, and doesn't justify muktzah. Rav Kiva maintains, it certainly does. So when you have a viable option, such as in the case of the Levim, who are going to transport it, then certainly you meant to leave it for them, but in our case where it's either removing it or leaving it till Matzah Shabbos, of course you meant to remove it on Shabbos, and that is more important, takes priority over the Isser of Muktzah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we know it in the Braisa, Kol Nechnosin Behechel. All are allowed to go into the Hechel for the following purposes. livnois, to build, lesakain, to repair the infrastructure, ulahoitis atuma, or to remove tuma which is present there. Umitzvah v'kahanim, we prefer a kohen to do the job. A kohen belongs there, that's the makom avoda. So preferably a kohen should accomplish this feat. Im ein shem kahanim, if there are no kahanim available, nichnasim levim, so second best, a levim. Ein shem levim, there are no levim available, nichnasim yisraelim. So third tier are the Israelim. V'idi tahirin in t'mein loy. But either way, it's meant to be accomplished by tahirin. We prefer sending a Torah person in there rather than a tummy. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Kahana, who was a kohen, mesayeh kahani. He favors, he supports the kohanim. Because as we're going to see soon, he favors sending a kohen to do the job, even if the kohen is tamei, rather than sending a Yisrael who's tired. The Tanya of Kana, because Rav Kahana taught us a brisa. Matech Shenemar, from the fact that we see the Pasuk says, this is regarding a Baal Mum, a kohen who has a blemish. Achala Porechas lo yavei. The kohen should not approach the Porechas. So the Torah says that a Baal Mum cannot enter, cannot do the avoida. Yochel lo yu kohanim bali mumen. Perhaps we can learn from here that even if the kohen is a Baal Mum, he can't even go in to do something else, to repair, to remove tuma. Yochel lo yu kohanim bali mumen nechnosen bein ulam ulam mizbeach. Perhaps they can't even go past the mizbeach towards the ulam lasis rikuye pachim to go ahead and repair, fix the gold-plated walls which were in the kodesh hakodashim. So perhaps even for repairs, they can't enter. Talmud loyma ach chalak. The pasuk restricts the Baal Mum, but adds the words ach. The word ach is coming to split, to exclude. The Baal Mum cannot enter for the sake of avoida, to do service, but he can go ahead if he's needed to repair. The rikui pachim, these flat metal sheets, or any other infrastructure repair needed in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the preference is as follows. Mitzvah b'tmimim, we prefer sending in a kohen who's a tamim, who's suitable for avoida, and it really belongs there. Ein sham tmimim, however, if there are no tmimim available, then second best is nechnasim bali mumin. The ones with a mum can go in. Mitzvah tahirin, we prefer sending in a kohen who's tahir. And sham tahirin, but if there's no tahirin available, and there's a pressing need to have this business attended to, nechnasim tmeim, so even a kohen tami can go in, idi. But either way, kohanim in, Israelim, like, we prefer kohanim over Israelim. So even if the kohen is tami, he's considered to be in a higher position than a Yisrael who was tired. So if Kahana was Messiah Kahana, he supported and he favored Kahana. Okay, says the Gemara, now let's say we have a Kohen who's a Tame. We have another Kohen who's a Baal Mum. So they're both somewhat deficient. Less than ideal. The question was, which one is preferred? Iboilu. So the Bnei Yeshiva posed the following question. Tame or Baal Mum? If you have a choice of sending in a Kohen, Tamei, or a kohen baal mum, eizeh mehen nichnas, which one's going to go in? We have a machlekes of Chia bar Ashi Omar, Rav, Tamei nichnas. So he said in the name of Rav, that we prefer the Tamei. Why? The ha'ishtari b'avoidah tzibur. Because let's remember that although a Tamei cannot generally do avoidah, but when it comes to avoidah tzibur, the public karbanis, when there's no alternative, we know that even a kohen Tamei can do the avoidah. So a kohen tamei has limited access, theoretically has access to the Beis HaMikdash, therefore we prefer sending him in there over the Baal Mum, who can never do avod. Rav Lazar Amar, Baal Mum nichnas. We prefer sending in the Baal Mum. Why? To ishtri b'achilas kachin, because he has the ability at present moment in time, even when he has that moment, he can still go ahead and eat karbanis, eat kachin. So that's considered to be a connection to the Beis HaMikdash, and he is favored over the kohen who is tamei. So in summary, we learned that when it comes to coming into the heichal to fix or to take out a tumah, so we have a hierarchy as follows. First come Kahanim, second Bes Aleviim, and finally Yisraelim. Rav Kahan explained to us that a Kohen, even who is Tameh, is favored over these Leviim and Yisraelim. Likewise, a Kohen who is Baal Mum can go on for these purposes. And we're left off with a question, if we're faced with the choice of a Tameh or Baal Mum. The question is, which Kohen to send in? One Shita says a Kohen Tameh is preferred, other Shita says a Kohen Baal Mum has precedence. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Omer Bechulus, Rav Shimon concluded our Mishnah with a statement as follows. He said, wherever the Chachamim gave you the heter, it was actually yours that was granted to you. And he concluded with the words, they only allowed you in the case of Shvus. Now, this statement seems to be a bit cryptic, which the Gemara now will elaborate on. It says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Hechikai, well, what's he referring to? Hasam Kai, it's actually in reference to the Mishnah over there, back on Daf Nun Beis. Tasnan, Mishehech Shechutz L'Tchum, a person is traveling and come nightfall, Shabbos, he finds himself right outside this city's boundaries. Afilu Ama Achas, even if he's just one Ama outside the boundary, Lo Yikonis, he can't go on, meaning he doesn't acquire the boundary of the Tchum of the city because he was outside the Tchum at the onset of Shabbos. So even one Amma creates that complication. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Omer, Afilu Chomeshei Srei Amma Yikonis. Even if he should find himself 15 Ammas beyond the boundary marker, he can still go in. He has for himself the Tchum of the city. Why? L'fisha'ein HaMeshoiches Mematzen Es Amides, because the Meshoiches, these surveyors, they don't lay down their markers with exactness. They don't measure exact. They actually offset a bit. And they bring the tchum, the marker, which delineates the end of the boundary, they bring it in a bit. Actually, 15 amis. You know why? Mipnei ha-toyim. For concern that people might inadvertently wander out of the tchum and end up out of the tchum. So they originally account for that and they offset the markers, they bring it in a bit to allow for that. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, if a person should find himself 15 amis outside the tchum, you're meant to know that he's really within the tchum, and there's no concern. The Ka'ama Tanakama Leikonis. So, Reb Shimon is responding to the Tanakama who said, even if he's one amma outside the marker, he can no longer come in. Reb Shimon says he can, because technically he's still within the tchum. Continues the Gemara. So Reb Shimon first says, look, when the Chacham allowed you, meaning the reason why I allowed this person who's so far out of the Tchum to come back in because Mishlcha Nasnlcha, it's yours that they gave you. Chacham didn't grant you any new heter. It's really yours. You're really within the Tchum. And he concludes with the words Shlo Yitir Lecha Elam Shem Shvus. Now, what is this in reference to? Heicha Koi, what's it referring to? Hasam Koi, it's in reference to the Mishnah we learned earlier in the Perek. Concerning the Levi's harp that got damaged, so his violin or harp string snapped on Shabbos. The Kama Tanakama Kosher, Tanakama maintains that he can go ahead and tie the string, although that involves a melacha of Kosher. He can do it on Shabbos for the sake of the clay shear, the instrument required for the korbanis. So that's the Tanakama who allows a melacha. V'amar l'Reb Shimon Oinva. However, Reb Shimon tells the Tanakama, no, you can only go ahead and form a bow which doesn't involve a malach. Why? Ani v'delei asir l'dei chiv chatos sholi rabbanon. Only a bow which can never lead to a malach, a chiv chatos. Only that would the rabbanon allow, even in the Beis HaMikdash. However, kshira, to allow actually knotting the string, the asir l'dei chiv chatos, which can actually lead a person to do a malacha even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps inadvertently, he'll think that just as you can tie the harp in the Beis HaMikdash, let me do it outside as well. So since it can lead to that confusion and that pitfall, kshir the asli dev chiv chatos, lo yishar the rabbanon would not allow it. And therefore, I maintain that the only thing you can do is actually form that bow, because the kshir can come the chiv chatos, and lo yishar the rabbanon, and certainly the rabbanon did not allow that. And as Tosfos explains, Now I understand the connection between the two statements, two parts of Rav Shimon's statement. He says like this, my positions seem to contradict each other. On the one hand, I'm very lenient, I'm very makel when it comes to the tchum. This fellow finds himself so far outside the tchum, I allow him to come back in. And on the other hand, when it comes to the harp, I say, a knot? No. Only a bow, which doesn't entail a malacha. So here, I'm very machmer, here I'm very makel. How does that work? Says Rav Shimon, I'm very consistent actually. Because the Chachamim never took something which is asr and made it mutter. So let's explain. In the case of the tchum, although it seems that the Chachamim be very makel, I allow him to come back from so far out of the tchum, that's simply because technically he was always in the tchum. Mishal chan aslacha, it was always mutter. Because the actual boundary extended beyond the present markers. That explains the halacha there. And likewise, in the case of the harp, Chacham would not allow something which is Asr or can come to Isr. Therefore, I insist that the only thing that was allowed in the sake of the snapped harp was the form of bow, which in itself is not a malacha, nor can it lead to confusion and to malacha. Hadron lacham is a tefillin, uslikala mesechas ervin. Mazel tov, may we be zeichet to learn many mesechtes together in good health. The Simcha.